Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Hey fam, I'm Simone Boyce.
I'm Danielle Robay.
And we're the hosts of The Bright Side, the podcast from Hello Sunshine that's guaranteed to light up your day.
Like our recent episode with sisters Regina and Raina King about the why behind their production company, Royal Ties.
We have such a huge love for storytelling without walls, without barriers.
Listen to The Bright Side from Hello Sunshine on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 112, episode 3 of Dirt Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness and say, officially, off the top, fuck the Koch brothers and their Koch industries, and fuck Fox News. Fuck it's off. Wednesday, December 11th, 2019. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Breathe in the air. Don't be afraid to care. Leave, don't leave me. Look around, choose your O'Brien. Courtesy of Hannah Soltis.
What was that to the tune of?
Breathe by Pink Floyd.
Wow, okay, yep.
Yep, nailed it.
Should have known that.
Nailed it. And I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray
Man. Master of the Zeit Gang. Champion of the Ganj. He's the master of ED meds and cold brew for everyone. I fucked up that last part, but thank you so much to Aaron Appleyard for that Day Man, Always Sunny, aka. I think it's the second time I've done a version of that. That's like one of the few episodes I've actually seen of It's Always Sunny.
It's Always Sunny. It's a good watch.
That and one where Danny DeVito, Frank, that his character, they're like demonstrating kitchen knives. Like they're selling kitchen knives, and then he cuts himself terribly at the demonstration, bleeding all over someone's house. Just those only moments I know from It's Always Sunny.
I cut myself in an acting class doing a demonstration of a slicing machine. Like we had to like do a...
Like a deli slicer?
It was like one of those like spinner things that has...
Oh,
and they were like slap chop? Yeah, we were supposed to like do a demonstration, like use our hands and like just... you know, give yourself some business to do. And I cut my finger wide open.
How? Isn't the whole thing like
well,
supposed
they were
safe?
Like, so you're supposed to like put this together for them and like basically do a QVC demonstration. And I failed.
Is that when you're like, I'm not acting?
Yeah, that was it.
That was
up
an
to that time.
Class?
Yeah, it was like it's supposed to be an easy A. And
they're like, in the meantime, we're going to train you how to sell Cutco.
Right,
you're not
exactly.
Gonna
you're not going to make it. Weirdly, I was the only one who had to do that. Everybody else was like doing Shakespeare. They're like, can you do a QVC demonstration, idiot?
Oh, that's fucked up. Like everyone's doing like these like really moving monologues.
Yeah,
and you just
why don't you sell some homework?
That's ethical acting. Every acting teacher should make you learn right. how to do something that's actually going to be worthwhile in your future.
Right, exactly. why don't you memorize this Cheesecake Factory menu?
Door-to-door knife sales.
Hey, shout out to everybody who did Cutco, though.
Well, yeah. We were thrilled to be joined.
I had like three friends try to sell my mom Cutco stuff.
But then that's how it always goes.
Yeah.
We're thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the hilarious and gifted Mr. Nick Casolini.
Yeah, thank you so much.
What's up,
AKA
man?
Chinchillasaur Rex.
Chinchillasaur Rex.
Chinchillasaur Rex.
Well, Chinchillasaurus. Rex.
Chinchillasaurus.
Chinchillasaurus. Okay, yeah. Good. I was going to say it makes me think of a sore on a chinchilla.
Yeah, yeah.
But
too,
saurus, you know? Much better.
Sorry I didn't sing it. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks
Are
for
you,
being here, man.
Is that a MC name? Is that just an alter ego?
I don't know. I was just thinking, you guys just had such a. You know, zippy zappy,
zip zap
zippity,
zap.
Zap zap.
Yeah, like you guys are so beautiful with your AKAs. I just
trying
to come up with something.
I like that.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, we're gonna get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're gonna tell our listeners a couple of things we're talking about. Kit Harington responded to his Golden Globe nomination in a way that
very chill.
But it's probably the least like workshopped response, I think. Like it's not, you know, for a fact that this did not come from a publicist.
No, it sounded like reminds me of being high in a grocery store and seeing somebody from high school you haven't seen. And they come up to you and go, hey, what's up? How you been?
Yeah.
And the answer is never eloquent, good.
Right. Yeah.
And full of weird sayings I've just made up.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like that would pretty much reflects his performance in that last season.
Yeah, that's
right?
What I'm not even sure he was. Like, yeah. He was nominated?
Yeah. Really? Yeah. Was he the best part?
No.
No, definitely not. I mean, his character was fine and good, but no, he was definitely the least interesting acting in the whole
Jon
thing.
Jon Snow. That's my impression of him.
Oh, that was fantastic.
Thank you.
Why don't you put that slap chop together?
Why don't you go over there and.
Why don't you go fold those cardboard boxes up?
We're going to talk about the articles of impeachment.
Yeah.
That have been introduced. No surprises here. We're going to talk about how the Republicans are dealing with that. We're going to talk about the Democratic senators demanding Stephen Miller resigns. We're going to talk about Health and Human Services.
petty mess in there. It's like a new Scott Pruitt, actually. We miss Scott Pruitt's antics at the EPA. And now it's endemic. This whole administration just has these selfish scumbags who the shit that these people are trying to pull in Health and Human Services is it's
impressive.
Commendable. Yeah.
Yes. We're going to talk about Pee-wee's Big Adventure, turning 35, and how they're celebrating that.
Oh, yeah.
Password hygiene, Taco Bell testing some more fake meat, like fake meat beyond the fake meat they've been using for years.
Intentionally,
they're like, oh, you guys are jumping on a fake meat wave?
Oh,
that's
we should
been our thing
forever.
They're
the OGs with that.
Right.
Oh, yeah. We'll check out this new one we made.
Totally
unbeef.
But what, it doesn't come from animals?
I guess.
It's all plant-based.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk about that. But first, Nick, we like to ask our guests, what is something from your search history that is revealing about who you are, what you are up to these days, whatever? What's something from your search history?
I looked through. The other night, my wife and I were playing around in our kitchen and singing songs and dancing and acting stupid.
Watch out for the slap chops.
And what are slap chops?
The thing that took his finger.
Thing that
Oh, the, took, oh
yeah.
right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You see.
from the acting class.
Yeah.
I had
from an acting by the way,
for Zeitgang listeners, it should be no surprise that I was not good with my hands when doing the acting teacher was like, we're going to do something where you have to do some business with your hands. You're and like, oh. I immediately broke into a cold sweat.
Hives everywhere.
Jack, why haven't you taken your hands out of your pocket this entire semester?
Oh, your pockets are wet, too.
All right. Sorry. Go ahead, Nick.
We had to Google the lyrics to the Blackstreet song Before I Let You Go. I'm 35. I don't know if that's too old for you guys. Okay, good.
84 in the building.
And beautiful. And there's a lyric that I swore was right between your legs and mine. And my wife is like, you're insane. It's right between your lips and mine.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
And it's about where the true love lies between these two people.
Got it.
She was right. I was wrong. Yeah. So, that's very revealing about me because I never understand lyrics.
Yeah, me
and,
neither.
And the things that drove me wild when I was a child ended up to be way less sexual than
right.
they were meant to be.
Between your legs and
mine. Yeah, for sure. Well,
interesting.
Songs back then were so explicit and crazy that it didn't seem bizarre to me at all that would be the lyric.
Yeah.
Although
Between Your Legs and Mine also almost sounds like instructions from like a basketball coach or something.
Yeah.
Like legs. Yeah.
Soccer, maybe.
Yeah, soccer. Yeah.
Between your legs.
So you want to line your legs up with the other person.
Yeah, I mean, actually, that holds true for a lot of these lyrics. My mission is to keep you mine. That sounds like one-on-one defense.
Yeah.
I don't want this to be the last time. That's a little shit-talking, you know?
Right, yeah.
And I know you feel it, too. It's bigger than the both of us. You know?
Wow. That is some shit that, like, a player would say to somebody you feel that, right?
I know you feel that, too.
Yeah.
I know you felt that.
Oh, you're back. Yeah. It's always little things, you know, and I just can't let it slip away. That's all things a coach would tell their players.
A sexy coach by the name of Teddy Riley.
Yeah. What is something you think is underrated?
What do I think is underrated? I think this goes as underrated. I think we should be able to lick our plates in restaurants.
Wow.
I think that's an underrated move.
Lick plate.
Yeah.
Like lift it up to your face or are you putting your head down? Near the table.
No, definitely lift
it.
You have to have some self-respect.
Right.
And I don't know. I just waited tables for a long time and everyone was like, oh, if I could, I would lick the plate. And enough people say it's like we should all just agree that we want to do it and we should. There's no reason not to. It's not that different than like lifting up
or
a bowl of soup.
Free bread.
Right.
To wipe it clean with the bread if you want to.
Yeah.
I've licked a plate before.
Yeah.
I don't give a fuck.
No, and you shouldn't.
Yeah.
That should be completely acceptable.
And it seldom happens where you actually are like, man, you know what? I think I'm going to literally lick every fucking ounce of whatever this meal was off of this plate.
Right.
So when it happens, you just got to go all in. Because that already indicates a heavenly moment.
It's respect.
Yeah.
It's beautiful respect and should be celebrated. Right.
The chef is not going to mind, that's for sure.
That could be a thing that you do in a restaurant to encourage it. It's like, hey, lick a plate, get your photo on the wall.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
What is something you think is overrated?
I'm going to go with being salt and pepper.
Being salt and pepper.
Yeah, with my hair, I mean.
Oh, okay, got it.
Yeah. Oh, I thought you and your wife were doing like a tribute group. Salt and pepper.
Yeah, that shit's weak, dude.
Well, you're talking about how you sing and dance your kitchen.
I would much rather be Spinderella.
Yeah.
No, that's underrated. Being salt and pepper is for sure underrated.
Being salt and pepper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, having salt and pepper hair is something that I've been dealing with since high school.
Oh, really?
And, just everyone always wants to pat me on the back and be like, everyone's very quick.
Like you're a veteran or something?
Yeah.
Hey, man, you're brave.
Good for
appreciate
you,
your
you know?
Service.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah, but also that it's like attractive. Like, I don't know, people will go out of their way let me know how okay
Gray
it
fox.
Is.
Gray fox. Yeah.
Yeah, right? And it's like, I don't know, I'm too young for it. I'm like a silver fox preemie or something.
Yeah. Right. Silver puppy.
Right.
Silver puppy. It's too sickly
much.
Puppy.
Yeah, and also it's just like, you know. When your hair gets long, then you look really bad.
Right.
And then, you know, then if you look a little tired, you look super old and, you know, I'm over it. And I need people to stop glorifying the salt and pepper look.
So what do you want to, do you just want to say, I want to look ill just because, not because of the hair.
Yeah.
Anything.
I just, can I just be sick?
Yeah.
Can I just be sick?
Did you ever
ferment it?
Yeah, you ever diet?
Not yet, but I probably will.
It actually looks good on you. I wouldn't.
Thanks.
Diet. Yeah.
Yeah. See, like, that's what I'm talking about. Sorry, I don't want to hear that.
I apologize.
I don't know, dude. You wear your age? I don't know, bro.
Thank you.
Is that
you.
How you want to look?
Yeah.
Basically. I don't know.
There you go. That's what you Miles get. It both. Is
what,
you what, you're...
what world would you rather? Do you ever want people to be disparaging about it though? Not really. You just
no. I want
you don't like the thing. I'm like, oh.
Yeah. Basically, just keep it to yourself. I mean, I'll diet when I'm here acting and all these things. So like. When that happens, when they need me to diet, I will.
Right.
Sure.
Yeah, for sure.
Any Probably colors not. You would love to have it dyed?
No.
I just want to keep it as
all
natural.
White. No. Yeah.
Just for all this gray?
Yeah. Yeah. You're auditioning
Silver
for
Fox.
Edgar Winter.
John Flair. What's that guy from Mad Men? The
Don't know that
the
show.
The Silver
enough.
Fox himself?
I don't know.
John... Oh, there was a character who just had
who
white
has,
hair?
Like, white hair.
Yeah, and, right.
Wears it very well.
All right, white hair.
Yeah, I'm just thinking about, like, the... Salt and pepper look works up to a certain hair length, but like you never see George Clooney with his hair like grown out or anything.
Well, you
like,
look like
look
a
weird.
Mad scientist
right.
hacker.
You yeah.
know what it is? It's the dude who played Data in Star Trek who was in Independence Day.
Right.
As like the scientist at like Area 51.
Oh, yeah.
He had long ass right. salt and pepper hair. And I remember being like,
Well, his hair was also sticking out in every direction. It's yeah. not like he.
Well, that's the crazy part. The grays or the whites, they get brittle too.
Right.
So it's like not only two colors.
So they do end up sticking out.
Yeah, they're going to stick out. And it's like you have two heads of hair.
Yeah. What is a myth? What's something people think is true you know to be false?
Oh. Well,
Brett
I just found
Spiner. That's his name.
I just
Spiner.
Who Data?
Yeah,
Spine Dog.
What movie was he in?
Independence Day.
Was he the one listening to "It's the End of the World"?
He may have been, but I just remember him being in the Area 51 lab and just being like, "Hey, my hair looks like it's gonna break off."
Oh now,
my!
Does he get?
They get him
murked by the aliens. Well, but then isn't he in the?
I
sequel?
Think he's in the second one, and I'm like, wait, bro, didn't they have the tentacle around your neck?
Yeah, they had the tentacle around their neck, and we're using him as a puppet.
Yeah.
Huh. And then he survived that. That's got to be some fucking.
Yeah.
But
well, he probably got a great settlement from the government.
Yeah, and probably a few more grays.
Yeah.
Did you growing up? Did you identify with that song? By the Crash Test Dummies, where
no.
they talk about the young child who gets white hair.
Not at
from
all.
A car accident.
But I don't know anything about that. That I'm really bad when it comes to like alternative rock, especially from
okay.
that era. But my wife has been teaching me slowly but surely. So I like nice. That song now.
Wait, what do you mean you're really bad? Like, were you just focused on chamber music or something? Were you just all in on one other genre of music?
Yeah, basically.
Okay.
Yeah,
what was your other genre?
Like rap and R&B. I mean,
okay.
Like
yeah,
between
yeah, yeah.
like what the kids were listening to in school, like. I was like little or whatever when like grunge was happening, and we just thought that was like the most embarrassing.
Oh, right, because you grew up in Seattle.
I grew up in Seattle. Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Right.
So at that time, you're sort of like, man, I don't know about this.
Yo. No, yeah. It was like if you were a rocker, then you just got like beat up. You know, like you couldn't be a rocker
right.
in the south end of Seattle when I was growing up.
Right.
So you had to be a Sir Mix-a-Lot fan?
No. It was like all Bay Area rap music. Like we only listened like Too Short and E-40 and just like that stuff exclusively.
Okay.
Yeah, I was in the Seattle airport for like 2 hours recently, and they're still like rocking grunge and like have like an announcement from a rock musician.
Dude, Sub Pop, the record label that, you know,
right.
yeah.
they have a store in the airport.
Yeah, it's like,
wow.
That yeah. is like a place where like that is the mainstream.
Could
is
you imagine
grunge,
a Death Row
is,
Records right. Store
in LA?
LA
yeah, if
shit.
They were like bumping like Death Row shit. Like,
I can imagine. I'm sure Top Dog will do it.
Right.
Yeah,
eventually.
For sure. But TDE, yeah, that would be
what,
much
what,
more entertaining.
What airport would that be? Would that be?
TDE?
Yeah.
Would have to, well, I mean, it's LAX.
It's LAX.
Burbank, yeah. I don't know what the fuck happened. There's like the Jay Leno store, or it used to be like the Tonight Show NBC store back in the day.
Oh, man. I got to come clean with the listeners that we're doing like a look back at the last decade for like the
some special holiday
some special holiday apps. And. Oh, man, Jay Leno, what a terrible person.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God. I was, like, reading some jokes from him from 2010. And
oh,
just,
I can only imagine.
Oof.
Especially what? With the shit he just said recently, like, that got him in hot water
yeah.
on America's Got Talent, and he's making, like, Asians eat dog jokes.
Yeah.
So.
What, anyways. In 2010, he was just off the rails with that?
Not just off the rails, just, like, crappy, hacky shit. And what? It was, like, him, he was. It was, like, right after he, like, kicked Conan out, and it was just.
Oh, right,
like
came
that,
back.
That was the feud that we were worried about yeah. in 2010 entering this decade and still the number one feud that we're all following.
Yeah.
Living our lives by. All right.
But well, that myth.
Oh, a myth. Okay, yeah, yeah. Sorry. So there's this conspiracy theory, I guess, that like people don't know where Shakespeare was born and like Shakespeare's life
or
in general, who he
yeah,
is or
right.
if he existed or whatever.
Was he right. a woman? Was but he a man?
But I didn't even realize that was a conspiracy theory because growing up, it is just like my grandparents are from a very specific part of Sicily.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just taught that Shakespeare was from this part of Sicily. And
oh,
like
really?
Everyone, when you go Whoa. There, everyone's just like, oh no, Shakespeare's from here. Like they all know his grandparents. You know, like,
right.
Like,
right,
just,
right, right.
It's just
grandparents
like,
are still alive.
It's for, like everyone knows everyone, right?
Right.
So like, it's like my cousin, blah, blah, blah. Like, so for me, it was weird when I found out that that was a conspiracy theory because I could just tell
you. It was
common
knowledge.
It was just common knowledge. He's from like
He's
this.
From Sicily.
Yeah, from a town. Well, it's not even a town. Well, it's a town for on a global scale, but kind of big for Sicily. A place called Messina.
Uh-huh. Messina.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, so I don't know. You guys can talk whatever you want to about Shakespeare, but he's definitely
he's
Sicilian.
He's definitely
yeah.
Sicilian.
Yeah, he's from Messina.
I mean, like this when is people just claim the... someone, they're like, yeah. nah, I don't care what it is. yeah. That's This is what
I've
it
heard
is.
The theory that he was like an entire like team of writers, that
yeah.
he's
right.
like the team of writers that wrote the King James Bible.
Sure.
Like I've heard all that stuff, but Sicily, this is new.
Yeah.
Yeah.
yeah. It is somewhere on the, like if you... whatever, Google conspiracy theories, that is one of them.
One
deep
of them?
Down the list.
Yeah.
What is it
yeah.
that about Messina, though, that people are so sure? Like, is it because of...
Well, it's well, just because everyone knows where everyone's from
okay.
out there. So that's just part of being there.
Oh, right? So just sort right. of like the oral history of that of Messina is like, we've known Shakespeare has been...
But also, right. even if he wasn't a big timer, like if like everyone knows like where I'm from.
Right,
when
right,
I go
right,
there,
yeah.
they're just like, you're from, you know, Casavega or whatever. Like, everyone knows. That's just a part of,
sure,
I don't
sure,
know,
sure.
sort of like in a city maybe that was really, like, people cared about neighborhoods.
Right.
Imagine, like, Sicily sort of like one big neighborhood. So that's just part of it. But then the other part of it, too, is Messina is where, like, all the records are kept
mm-hmm.
for, like, birth certificates and stuff. So, like, my grandfather was born in that area, and you
oh,
have to
okay.
go to Messina to get his birth certificate. So
you can, like, go,
there.
And there's, like, William Shakespeare.
And here it is. Like,
yeah,
Bill
yeah.
Shakespeare.
Yeah,
Billy Shakespeare.
Oh, you're talking about Bill Shakespeare?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, man, I knew him.
No, that was his, you know, his whatever white name they gave him.
Right, yeah. right, yeah.
But,
the Ellis Island of the UK.
Right,
yeah.
And then in the village where my grandparents are from, there's like an original copy of Dante's Inferno.
Oh shit!
Oh wow!
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's pretty.
So
dope.
They keep it, and they, you know, they
yeah.
know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's talk about Kit Harington.
Yeah. Let's talk
so
about.
We
Kit
talked Harington. Globe noms.
Yeah, I mean, we mentioned that they happened.
Yeah.
With very, we have no stakes for us.
None
in
at
the
all.
Nominations.
Don't care.
I think maybe we should.
Well, who's
but
up
I'm also, I've realized as we've done the show, right, this is maybe the third year now we've gone into an award season. The first year we used to talk about like, yo, the biggest snubs of all time
right.
and this other shit.
Yeah.
And then I think we've slowly come to this point where like, none of this shit matters.
Well, the awards particularly, I feel like, don't
yeah.
matter.
Right, yeah. right.
I think they do them badly.
Yeah, well, I think
not just the Hollywood Foreign Press.
Yeah, hey,
I'm a
everybody.
Fan of certain members of the Hollywood Foreign Press.
Hey, I don't know anybody, so you know what? They fucked up.
Yeah, I
but
don't
yeah.
know them either.
I think the award season.
Not
yeah.
on board.
Well, so again, even with his nomination, it was weird. No, zero nominations for the show except for Kit Harington.
Right,
and
they didn't even give it to Dinklage.
Yeah, Dinklage, I mean, I even feel like the woman who plays Brianna Tarth had
yeah.
a great arc.
Yeah.
There are other characters.
Well, what
who
about
I felt...
the guy who got his, you know, his dick cut off and tortured for a long time and
yeah.
ended up being good? Like,
Reek.
That's, that Reek, that guy is awesome. Like,
yeah.
that guy's an incredible
Theon.
Actor.
Theon, yeah.
yeah, Theon is incredible.
Alfie Allen, singer Lily Allen's brother.
Oh, word?
Yes.
Oh,
and also an Arsenal
that.
Fan. You know, shout out to him.
Oh, man.
So
I was gonna say,
does that make
I,
you mad?
Yeah, this nepotism thing is
yeah.
just so
isn't it
demoralizing.
When
it's
like
insane.
A family of people.
Yeah, Lily Allen and
Even
Alfie
Even if it's
Allen.
Just like they're both super
so
talented,
yeah.
I'm just like,
well,
fuck,
I know it's
man.
Like I love Laura Dern, right? Like I'm
right.
on board with her, and just like it's just
Bruce
like,
Dern.
Of
yeah.
course, you're gonna get really good at acting
right.
when you're just born with the idea of like, oh, people just do it,
right.
and then you show up to sets or whatever when you're little, and
right.
you're just used
you're
to.
Like,
be-
what about all this creative baggage I had to shed to get here now?
Right.
You just grew up with it being like,
yeah.
yeah,
or just like the nerves of like showing up to set the first time,
right?
And you're just like nervous about it because
yeah.
you don't know what to do. But if you just grew up with it,
she just like knows everyone,
yeah, it was just natural and normal and a place to go where people treat you nice,
yeah.
like you know, anyways.
She shows up to Jurassic Park and was like, Steve, what's up?
She's like, oh, is that where the dinosaurs will be? I also have experience with dinosaurs, believe right. it or not. Yeah. Like live ones. Yeah, this is all old hat to me.
Well, now I'm glad Theon didn't get the nom.
Yeah. Fuck that guy.
I mean, he.
I think if we can all agree on one thing, it's fuck Theon.
Fuck Theon. Yeah, he, I mean, he fought valiantly
yeah.
in the end.
Yeah.
But yeah, so when they, apparently they got hold of Kit Harington right after he was nominated.
This guy is an awkward quote machine, by the way.
Yeah, he's, yeah. And this was, they asked him, you know, what they thought of him being nominated and the only person from the show to be nominated. And he says, I'm the loner throner, it seems. I just imagine myself sitting down at a table all by myself as the loner throner. I didn't expect to be nominated. I thought the show might be. But I just, at home, learning lines, and then my publicist called. It was very unexpected and wonderful. Mm. Okay.
His publicist.
I'm a loner throner, it seems. And then he wasn't embarrassed that he said that. He wanted to
return, by myself?
He wanted to take you on a journey of what that phrase that he had just come up with evoked in his mind.
Which does that mean that he also suspects that he's now alienated from the rest of the cast and crew?
I don't know.
And
man.
Now he's like, now I'm the real loner. They hated me. They always hate. That would have been funny if, like, you know, they're all haters. So actually, you know, I expected this.
Actually, now that I'm looking at it, I think what happened is I'm the loner throner, it seems. Pause for laughter. None coming, and he's like, oh, I guess I need to further explain this joke. I need a tag. So what's happening?
What's your quote? I'm the loner throner, it seems.
Wait, why isn't there?
I just imagine myself sitting down at a table all by myself as the loner throner. I didn't expect to be nominated. Okay, right. I gotta go.
Right.
Well, I think like they must have known on some level that a huge portion of people, of fans of the show, wanted him to win the throne or whatever, right, to be the king at the end. So they're like, we'll just give him like, you know,
something.
We'll give him something. We'll let him be the real king winner of that at the end of this thing after all.
Anyway,
still thinking about that season, that exasperated sigh.
Yeah.
Shit was not good.
Nope, it was not. Although, how could they not nominate it when there's that shot where she's walking through the doorway and the dragon wings go behind her? And then you realize that what the filmmakers are saying is she might be the dragon.
Yep. I know, dude.
Like, all along. Dude.
Also, more nepotism with Benioff and D.B. Weiss, too.
Why?
People who, like, he's, like, related to the Mark Benioff from Salesforce.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
They're fucking, it's wild. And then I think D.B. Weiss was somebody's assistant. Like, again.
Well, assistant is, I mean.
No, but, like, in a way, like, in a manner in which, like, how did you become this person? It's not like, I work this agent's desk or some shit.
Right.
It was, like, some, I'm too lazy to look into it.
Assistant meaning nephew.
Right. Yeah, and they were also, going on the festival circuit, or they had an interview at I think, South By maybe this year where they were talking about how they learned on the job. They were like, yeah, we didn't know what we were doing, and we just kind of figured it out as we were
just
going.
Just winging it, man.
Yeah. And people were like, yeah, that's called privilege, you might want to.
There was a moment where D.B. Weiss was Glenn Frey's personal assistant.
Glenn Frey? What?
I don't even know why.
That's so strange. Well, and speaking of Glenn Frey and the Eagles, there are some legendary stories about them from the road. Am I right, Miles? Miles? Miles, it's Jack from work over here.
Are you talking about your old podcasting co-host, Miles?
Yeah, Anna. Oh, hey, boy. Anna Hosnier.
Jack.
How's it going? Where did Miles go?
Jack. Oh, Miles has been dead for 20 years now.
What? Plot twist. Dun, dun, dun. Actually, Miles just left on a trip. He'll be back in a moment, but we're recording things a little bit out of order. Miles just left on a trip, and he left rolling a beautiful away suitcase. It is light blue. It's very cool looking. I got a gray one. Anyways, guys, do you know about away? Are you familiar with away? Anna.
Yes.
Anna, answer me. Are you familiar with Away? Sorry, Nick. You'll be right back in a second. So Away creates thoughtful products designed to change how you see the world. Now you might be thinking, so they're glasses? No. They started with the perfect suitcase, crafted with features that make travel more seamless. Now they offer a range of essentials that solve real travel problems. So all you have to think about is where you're headed next, because getting away means getting more out of every trip to come. And like I said, Miles has a great one. I have a great one. They have a lightweight, durable shell, and you can use it as a carry-on. It fits in the little carry-on compartment. And they give you a 100-day trial that lets you try any Away product on the road. And we have a special offer for you guys. For $20 off a suitcase, all you have to do is visit awaytravel.com/TDZ and use promo code TDZ during checkout. Again, that's awaytravel.com/TDZ for $20 off a suitcase and use promo code TDZ during checkout. And now that we are ready to return to the show, I'm going to cast a spell and conjure Miles back from the dead. And abracazoom, we're back. And the Democrats have made it official. They've announced the two articles of impeachment, abuse of power,
about impeaching this
and
creep.
Obstruction, Pelosi, Nadler, Schiff.
They got them all.
Yep.
Up there, Maxine. Just unveiling their two articles, obstruction of Congress and abuse of power.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people know how they aren't going after obstruction of justice.
Right.
From the Mueller probe, because that was some pretty nailed on obstruction cases there.
Yes.
And also abuse of power versus before they were talking about extortion or bribery. The language has shifted a little bit with what they're
doing. Are they
making
it like weaker?
Nah, I think they're just using different. I think because they want to keep it like this, so when they have to prove the case, they can just go after an abuse of power thing. Because I think maybe extortion or bribery, there's too many ways for the Republicans to defend against that.
Got it.
And I think they want to be as hyper specific as possible. But it still shows a little bit of being like, well, we'll see.
Yeah.
I mean, it's gonna either way. We know it's gonna be a sham in the Senate. So this is what they're gonna do. They'll vote on it probably next week. Make it official, like with a whistle. And then a trial in the Senate in the new year.
Right.
But there's not, I don't know. I mean, again, it's pretty straightforward, I think, with what they're trying to say, which is the president abused the power of his office to enlist the help of a foreign government for a sham investigation into a political opponent for his own gain, a.k.a. he's trying to cheat at the 2020 election. If you want to make it real simple for somebody.
Yeah.
And then also refusing to cooperate with like this investigation is the other part.
Why don't we just let the people decide 2020 election, man?
Yeah. Yeah.
Come on.
Right. Well, I think the issue
he's cheating at. Why don't we just let him
exactly.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Let him fucking stack the deck and then we'll pretend that's a fair game.
Right.
The thing that's really, I mean, again, you can tell that the Republicans know what he did is indefensible because they're not actually defending him.
Right.
They're just attacking the process. And I think for anyone who wants to, if you're in some kind of logic battle with somebody who is saying, well, you know, he didn't do anything wrong. And you can just say, well, then how come y'all are not proving it?
Right.
If you are actually wrongfully accused of something, you'll be like, okay, you want to go there?
Yes.
Here's all my evidence. Here are all these people, corroborating witnesses, whatever I have to do to defend myself to make you look foolish. But if your only defense is to just scream and lie, I think that's like one of the more damning indications that they know that the president is guilty of what he's done.
Right.
Yeah. But this is where we're at now because, you know, like any bacterial parasitic life form that has to survive, it will go into a second stage of survival where you do whatever it takes as a living organism to survive. And in this case, it's lying and basically gaslighting the country.
Well, yeah. It seems to me like the idea is like, just own the fact that he did something wrong, I mean, from a Republican standpoint, and be like, but he did it for national security. The Bidens are crooked. We have to do this. We have to stop this crooked guy from coming in and winning the elections through illegal Ukrainian whatever. Just own that it was bad. Even own that it's an abuse of power. Just be like, yeah, he abused his power. He's the president. He needs to. Of course he abused his power, and everyone who supports him will get up and cheer.
Right,
like, they don't care that he abuses his power.
Right.
You know, that's like they're like completely, they want him to.
They're getting off on it. They're like, this is so chill. This is so sick, dude. The way he's just like making them melt down and like we're completely deteriorating our fabric of this country.
I mean, there's no logically coherent message that has come from the Republican side.
Right.
No. There's like the legal expert that they brought to the Judiciary Committee, his thing was, well, like the Democrats need to slow down. Like he didn't make any defense of what Trump did at all. He just said they need to slow down because they haven't had fact eyewitnesses like testify. And nobody pointed out, because the Democrats are bad at this, nobody pointed out, well, that's because he's not letting them testify.
Yeah.
And so we're just going to push forward.
This is what we have.
But, like, this is what we have.
This is his obstructing this investigation. Yeah.
But yeah, it's like there's that. There's Trump just saying it's a sham, but like not really. I think Trump is probably the closest to Nick what you were saying. Like, that's basically what he's saying is, you know, I need to stop the Bidens. China should look into it too. He doesn't give a fuck.
Yeah. I mean, really, he just thinks, well, I'm sitting in the Oval Office means who gonna check me, boo?
Right.
That's really his, like, he doesn't care what's lawful. It's his idea is like, well, I'm at the apex. I'm at the top of the tower in terms of the power structure. So how am I going to be accountable for anything?
Yeah. I mean, he has talked about wanting to testify. And I mean, maybe that's what it would take for him to like get his message across is just like getting in there and, you know.
But it's just like, not, I mean, you know, who knows what this fucking trial is going to look like in the Senate? You know, it could just be complete, just utter disgrace. I mean, it's going to be a disgrace because they're not there to actually like have a sincere trial and try to adjudicate whether or not the president actually committed an impeachable offense. It's just going to be like, they're haters, right? Can we just vote on this and just take, you know,
take a nap? They'll probably lay out it'll just be like their, you know, reelection campaign kickoff. Right, They'll be like, this is who you guys want to vote for, these stupid Democrats? Like, look at them. Is that who you want in power?
Right.
Like, they're just going to make fun of the Democrats nonstop and talk about how good the economy is for whatever, you know. They'll just jam job all their talking points in there, and then they'll kick off the reelection.
There's campaign. Also, like, a group of shook Democrats, too, who are in those districts. Yeah, those districts that Trump won in 2016 who are being like, well, what if we just censure rather than impeach? Because then maybe we'll get like bipartisan support.
Right.
And it's
I think what Nick's saying is kind of what they're scared of, right? Is that like the Senate trial is going to be a sham that allows them to like basically take over the narrative.
It's going to be
whatever they want.
I think either way, just seeing how very little the needle has moved with even all this information coming out shows how little people are actually engaged with even this part of the impeachment. That even in the Senate, I have a feeling people are already just stuck in where they are. I don't know how much more this is going to prove to anybody, because you're either turned off by his like xenophobic, racist, homophobic, every terrible part of his policy platform, and you're turned off by that. You don't need the, wait, he did what with Ukraine?
Right.
To then be like, yo, fuck this guy. I think people are already in their corners, and I don't know, aside from just the mechanics of constitutionally enforcing the law, I don't know what it does.
There's this idea, and the politicians that I actually admire do this thing where it's like, no one's above the law, and like, we need to prosecute him, or whatever the word is.
Yeah.
You know, because no one's above the law. Like, that's going to, you know, that Americans relate to that. And it's like, we all know everyone's above the law. If you have money, like, that doesn't work. Like, that's, you're not moving us to say, I mean, I know people, I have friends that are, not that they're rich, but I know all types of people that break the law and get away with it.
Yeah.
Cheat the system. And it's like, especially if you have money, the law doesn't apply to you. And we've all been ingrained, that's been a part of our fabric for so long that that's absolutely nowhere near any kind of a motivational rallying cry to get people to be like, we have to hold powerful people accountable. It just doesn't
happen. Be like, yeah, this motherfucker's cheating.
Right.
More than usual.
Cheating more than the other next people election. Do. We were worried about him cheating at the last one. He's already cheating at the next one. Yeah. That's
censure.
I mean, there's still 47% support for Trump being impeached and removed from office, and 44% opposition. So he's still, you know, even though we have reached a status quo since basically the fake call transcript came out, it's still a pretty wild status quo that we're at. It's more Americans, a plurality of Americans think the president should be impeached and removed from
office. I also just think this process is too abstract to most people.
Yeah,
like who are not engaged in the news or politics. Like, you're like, okay, what? Last time I heard this, it was because Clinton got a blowjob or something.
Right.
Like, what is this? Like, isn't this a thing you do when you don't like a guy?
Yeah.
I think there's just not enough knowledge or education around what the process is for enough people to care in that
or
sense.
Interest, yeah.
It just seems like that whatever the next phase is of the media circus, which is like, now they'll do the impeachment thing we've kept hearing that word.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
So.
What's going on with Nancy Pelosi? What's she up to? So how's she using this political
right
capital?
After the right after that, or right around the time of the impeachment, articles of impeachment being unveiled, she then is saying, okay, we're now going to be advancing the USMCA, NAFTA 2.0. The thing that all Republicans, like their talking point throughout this impeachment process has been, you know, when is she going to do something about the USMCA? Mm-hmm. That's that thing's just sitting there. And these Democrats, they're doing nothing, blah, blah, blah. So with this, she has now found a way to negotiate with the president. Now, okay, you can look at this a couple of different ways. Advancing the USMCA and if it actually being signed into law would probably be the biggest political achievement for Trump since the midterms, like the, anything he's done. And a lot of people are like, why are they handing him a legislative victory of any kind?
Right.
And I understand the optics of that. There are also other dimensions of it, I think, that need to be considered with this USMCA. Initially, like with the tariffs that were being discussed in it and the agreements to like keep manufacturing in certain places, the Democrats have been really clear that they wanted like more protections for labor, like in this deal, and like also adding like greater environmental protections as part of this, like stabilizing drug prices, things like that. And a lot of people, I mean, it's not perfect by any means. Like labor unions have still, this is far from perfect in their eyes, and I think most people's eyes. But the Republicans were really concerned because the first version that they agreed to, Democrats were like, nah, this is not it.
Right.
And that's why I was stalling out. But as the president was getting his ass slow cooked, sous vide by this impeachment process, he started breaking down a little bit. And now they've been negotiating with him. And a lot of Republicans are worried that because of this, Trump has really weakened the bill that the Republicans wanted. Like right. John Cornyn from Texas said, like his when they asked him about this, they said, I just hope Trump hasn't gone too far in Speaker Pelosi's direction and the AFL-CIO's direction. Uh-oh, that he might lose some support here. My concern is that what the administration presented has now been moved demonstrably to Democrats the direction that they wanted.
Mm.
So in a way, when that happens, Nancy Pelosi gets a W because she can say, well, we're actually tuning this up a little bit more to our liking, although I don't think it's the best version of it. Also, they completely neutralize a GOP talking point of like, what are you going to do about the USMCA? Every person, every Republican has just been right. using that as like a pivot move to say Republicans are so focused on that. That's gone. And also helps vulnerable Democrats in a lot of these districts who are probably in the censure camp be like, hey, you can hang your hat on this, though.
Right.
Like, and also, I think this is the other thing, too, with back to the impeachment thing. They want to get things done very quickly because I know Pelosi wants to have some momentum going into the election with Democrats starting to do like passing bills they can start pointing at.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I mean, the president is such a fuck that I don't know how much political capital they really need to build to offset the losses from impeachment that they feel they're right. going to experience. But that's where that is.
So is it just like functionally are like we're at a place where there is no because didn't they like get rid of NAFTA? So now this is the replacement for NAFTA. Like what is the governing law of the land now?
Well, I think right now they still need to have because I think
they're
I don't
still
know if,
figuring it
yeah,
out.
Yeah, I don't know if it's gone. It has to go through the legislative bodies of all the countries. I don't know where it is in terms of Canada, but they definitely. I mean, like the main points have been agreed to, like when it comes about like auto, like automobiles, and like where the components are being manufactured within the three countries,
right.
and like people have to be earning a certain amount for their labor. But yeah, I'm not the trade guy. Yeah.
Okay.
You sound a little bit like the trade guy.
Yeah, I read enough. I read enough.
No, I just ever when you were I don't know anything about all that. So I was just like you were saying MC something something.
United States, Mexico, Canada.
And then to me I just kept hearing MCU, which I never knew what it meant, but that's Marvel Comics Universe.
Yeah. Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Also,
okay.
Either way.
Yeah. So I was trying to keep that straight, but that
or
was
the United States or the one dude from Beastie Boys MCA.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's right.
The old record label MCA.
Let's talk about Stephen Miller, you guys.
Yeah, this motherfucker still has a job.
Mm-hmm.
All right, moving
Enough.
on.
Enough. He should not.
Yeah. All those emails leaked. And we knew that he was Santa Monica Goebbels. Right. That's been his thing. He's the little West Side Nazi. Mm-hmm. And he is, has a pivotal role in setting immigration policy.
Right.
And I think most people of sound body and mind go, I don't think a white supremacist should be dictating who and how we let people become Americans.
Yeah.
And now the Democrats have written a letter to demand that he steps down. Now,
the Democratic senators.
Senators,
so
yes.
So they know nothing's going to happen because it's in the Senate where the Republicans are the majority.
Well, I mean, it's just more that they're all being like, hey, this is a fucking mockery and a shame that you have a verifiable racist at the helm of the immigration policy. And it's led by Kamala Harris.
Right.
And they're saying, quote, recent reports confirm that he advanced white nationalist anti-immigrant ideologies. Continuing to employ him as a senior architect of your immigration policies ensures that those policies discriminate against individuals of color to advance white nationalist ideals. He must be removed. I agree with this. I agree with everything.
Yeah.
I just don't know what's going to happen.
I think it's probably just, you know, it is very important that somewhere in the history books,
Senator put that down,
Kamala Harris was, you know, there's going to be a letter that was like, we hated this.
We knew
and like we demanded change. But I mean, you know, the Trump supporters either like it or don't care.
I think they should write a letter to Katie Waldman too, his girlfriend.
Oh.
And be like, yo.
Well, just, you know.
For real?
Stephen Miller's girlfriend?
Yeah. Stephen Miller has a girlfriend.
What does she do?
Doesn't she work for Mike Pence?
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah.
Poached from Martha McSally's staff.
Match made in hell.
Yeah.
I
would love to hear her comment. Like, so did you read these leaked emails?
Oh, she's like, it's erotica to me.
We good? Okay.
Yeah. Oh, no. They don't care. They don't care. No problem. Again, that's all Shannon Sharp all day with those people. Because at the end of the day, that's when you really see really what the mindset is of people who support the president. Because you can be like, it's a white nationalist setting the agenda. I'm like, no, it isn't. Or you're taking it too seriously. That means you don't take racism seriously.
Right.
Yeah. And that already means, okay, bye-bye.
So that's racism.
Nah, well, see, people use that word so much now.
Mm. Right.
You know, it's like really true. Like, you start letting all these people, like, what are you going to do?
Right.
You know, what are you going to do? Like, who's going to pay for that?
Right.
And that's about as far as I'm willing to think about it because, you know, this is where the right is now.
Right.
They've completely shedded anybody who had like some bit of like moral backbone.
Yeah.
And now you're just left with the distillation. Like, oh, okay. So now we're just left with the hardcore xenophobes who are like, yeah, this is all fine.
Right.
Like, everything is fine as long as we have this.
Yeah, I mean, we don't even, we do speak such different languages now. So, like, what racism even is or white nationalism, what's the definition of that? Like, there's not even we don't even have a basic playing field of what the word, like, patriotism means.
Yeah.
You know? And
or
that's,
truth.
Or truth or anything. Yeah. So it's just, like, that's just another thing. You say, like, white nationalism, and there's probably a lot of people that are like, that. I'm not racist, and white nationalism is good.
Oh, you can have black pride, but I can't have white pride?
Right. Yeah. There's a BET, but not a WET.
Yeah, it's called NBC, ABC, CBS, Fox.
Seen The Good Place? Yeah. It's just white supremacy full fucking throttle.
Let's talk about Health and Human Services, because this got a lot of attention under Obama when he was passing Obamacare.
In this era,
this became
HHS is about destroying Obamacare.
Right.
And I think before it was, what's his face? Price, right? Who is the head. And he had to leave because he was P-jetting too much. And they're like, you're spending way too, what the fuck is this?
Right.
Like, every person they've appointed to a lot of these cabinet positions are just fucking complete fools.
Wasn't it
ghouls.
Obviously a vacation that he was using the P-jet for?
Yeah,
it was
something terrible. Yeah. I mean, they all were. Right. And now Alex Azar, who is a literal former drug CEO, like big pharma CEO, running Health and Human Services. These are the people, and like he's at the helm. They're trying to figure out how they can kneecap Obamacare and make it as cruel as possible.
Right.
But then he also has the head of Medicare and Medicaid, this woman, Seema Verma. They have, so this is the tea. These two people do not get along.
Ooh.
And it has been like a really messy war being played out through leaks and articles talking shit about one another. Seema Verma is just a heartless demon. She's posting. This is a thing that she posted on her Twitter like last year. It's a photo of a shirt that says Medicare for All, and it says this year's scariest Halloween costume goes to. Okay, this is the person who is in charge of administering Medicare and Medicaid in the country.
Right.
Okay. And so this battle has been going back and forth. For example, there was a spat over she accused Alex Azar of sex discrimination because they had a disagreement over a hire. So Verma wanted to hire this person named Brady Brooks, who was the deputy chief of staff in her office, as to turn that person to chief of staff. But Azar and his office said they wanted a different candidate for that position, who was a woman. And also, like, much more experience and spent more time in this office. They're like, no, this other person is actually a more appropriate fit. She went and, like, started being like, they're discriminating against me because I'm a woman, and this is my pick, and that's what it is. They had to bring in independent outside legal counsel to investigate this because they took this charge very seriously, and they found nothing to be, like, wrong. And then as they asked her more, they're like, do you really want to go forward with this? She sort of like closed up shop and was like, no, I don't really want to talk about it. I don't need to say anything, blah, blah, blah. And the guy she wanted was eventually hired.
The guy she wanted?
Yes.
Wait.
Yes.
It was a woman, right?
No.
She wanted
a guy hired, but she was saying it was discrimination because it was her pick.
Oh, Brady was a guy?
Yeah.
And she was saying it was sex discrimination because it was her pick, but they were hiring a woman over a man.
Wait, actually, hold on. No, Brady Brooks is a woman. I'm sorry.
Okay, yeah. I think they were both women.
Sorry,
okay.
Yeah. I completely messed that up. So the discrimination was just simply because it's more so that it was about Verma's position within it. And she's saying, Alex Azar hates me because I'm a woman. And now their office is pushing back on my pick.
Got it.
Even though he wasn't trying to replace it with a man, replace the person in the position with a man. Anyway, so that had to get done, basically adjudicated by like legal counsel. Then, this is where it gets real funny. Oh, just so you know, she was paying like a media consultancy agency, like something over $3 million to like work on her speeches and her appearance and like her image.
I need to get one of those.
Yeah. This was part of
$3 million?
Yes. And it was
of
using,
like government money?
Yes.
Okay.
Using paying
so that
these
was
consultants.
Like her budget.
Yeah.
She was using her budget and allocating it to a media consultant to help her with her image.
How much of a nightmare was she before that?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, right, exactly.
They're like, this isn't good for your
Now, she's in the papers because she's asked. So she was in San Francisco.
Okay.
And anyone who's been to San Francisco and you've had something stolen out of your car.
If you've
anyone who has been to San Francisco, especially, look, if you've ever been in a band, and you do a gig where you drive up to San Francisco, you know the rule. Take all the shit out of the van because you will get robbed.
Yeah, you'll get robbed.
It happens every fucking time. So in true fashion, her rented Chevy Tahoe was broken into when she was doing a speech about Medicare, and she had jewelry stolen.
Okay.
And she basically is claiming that she had like $50,000 worth of jewelry that she needs reimbursed.
$50,000 of jewelry just sitting out
nearly
in a Chevy Tahoe?
Yes. She said $43,065 for about 24 pieces of jewelry based on an appraisal she'd received from a jeweler about 3 weeks after the theft.
After the theft.
Exactly.
Mm.
So among it was an Ivanka Trump branded pendant.
Oh, that's $20.
Made
bucks,
of
easy.
Gold. The jeweler said that's $5,900
well
right
on
there.
Your way.
Also said $2,000 to cover the cost of her stolen clothes and another $2,000 to cover the cost of other stolen goods, including a $325 claim for a moisturizer and $349 for noise-canceling headphones.
I mean,
and it's basically being like, okay, I need you to approve this. But I think then there was another round of clog up because Azar, I think, would have had to ultimately sign up. She ended up getting a fraction of that money.
Get the government to pay for it?
Yes. She's saying, I need to be reimbursed because I was on a work trip and I left all my $50,000 worth of jewelry in a rented Chevy Tahoe in the streets of San Francisco out in the open.
If I ever get a job, someone come rob me and we'll just split,
know,
split
the reimbursement.
Split. Yeah, I never heard of that. An employer paying back because you got robbed.
Right.
Everywhere I go, there's big signs that says no one here is responsible if you get robbed.
Right.
Yeah.
And
exactly.
If anything, you have insurance to cover jewelry.
Yeah, you saw the sign when you walked into our offices that said we're not responsible if you get armed. If you're the victim of armed robbery.
So this is the kind of people we have. So Scott Pruitt, remember, having Secret Service because he was in traffic, driving to restaurants so he could make a reservation, was stealing mattresses from the Trump Hotel. only like eating Dean and DeLuca.
No, no, he was trying to buy one of the mattresses and like had a government employee spending their time on finding a replica of a mattress from a Trump hotel to both kiss ass and also because he thought it was comfortable.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. You have the most comfortable beds.
You're the most, well, 100%. So now we have her basically saying, "Hi, I would like to, I would like you, the taxpayer, to buy me, look, I lost my Beats by Dre noise canceling headphones, and it was a special edition color.
$325 moisturizer. I'm pretty sure I saw that on that Goop list of year.
Yeah, I was.
Gifts.
That's the most believable number right? out of all of that right. list of things.
An
yeah.
Ivanka Trump thing for $5,900. I'm like,
no,
is it real gold?
Do
what
they
is
carry
it?
Things that are that expensive at Walmart? Isn't her shit like a Walmart?
Oh,
brand?
How dare you!
Or Nordstrom's maybe.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know where she keeps that shit.
Yeah. Well, actually,
not
she's
to
getting dropped.
Impugn Walmart or yeah. Nordstrom's. I'm just saying.
Nah,
I didn't,
fuck Walmart.
I thought that was like her. She was like a retail brand. I didn't think she was like.
No, I think it must
like
have been like. Her, there's levels to it.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
okay,
then they probably have like at a Jared Jewelers, you know, Ivanka Trump child torture collection.
Well, that's going. She's going out of business. And actually, people probably should buy up those pieces because probably in like 20 years they'll be worth
right.
something.
It'll be like Nazi memorabilia.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, yeah
actually. Could you imagine in the future, like, you see yeah. those fucking wild-ass people in the South have, like, Nazi rooms?
Right.
Like, and this is my MAGA room.
Right. Yeah. This is where I collect my MAGA memorabilia.
Yeah, I got a friend who got a MAGA, one of the first MAGA hats when he thought it was, like, a joke, right?
Right.
And he, I don't know, whatever, he got punched in the face for wearing it, which
yeah.
is hilarious.
Yeah, that'll happen.
Yeah, yeah, and great. But also, that's probably going to be worth money for him.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Probably.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. There's probably so many grifters, though, that are just going to be like, you know, yeah, I got yeah. this original. Because how did this, the hats are cheap as fuck anyway.
No, right. When he got
and
punched,
there's
though,
millions of them.
Yeah, but he got punched and there's a blood splatter. They'll be able to DNA test it back. It's like right. in the like war memorabilia. When right. there's like bullet holes, it's worth more.
Yeah. yeah.
Like that Pepe pin that what's his name was wearing when he got punched in the face on CNN. I bet that's going to be worth
oh,
money.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
That'll be something that you can like collect.
Oh, just back to. The Miss Verma, she only got $2,500.
$2,500. Yep. She was asking for $43,000,
basically. Yeah. yeah. $50,000. And they're like, yeah, this is the U.S. government.
yeah, I'm sorry.
Here's $2,500.
Yeah, I don't even think I could put, I don't even think I could fill my car, I think, with everything worth anything that I own. And I don't think it'd be worth $2,500.
Right. Yeah.
I don't think it'd be
$2,500.
Yeah, I think yeah. it'd be at $2,500.
Right.
My MacBook's old, you know.
Yeah. all right. We're going to take another quick break and then we'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
It's lunchtime at Tim Hortons, and we're serving up a special deal just for you. Our new $5.99 lunch deal includes your choice of any lunch sandwich and a side of crunchy kettle chips. Because what's lunch without a little crunch? And the sandwich choice is all yours. Like a ham and Swiss, Chipotle chicken wrap, BLT, and more. Made to order just the way you like it. Tim Hortons' new lunch deal. Simple, delicious, and just $5.99. Now that's a good deal. Only at your neighborhood Tim's. U.S. only. Price and participation vary. Terms apply.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Juan Gabriel.
Juanquis.
Selena.
Selena.
Celia Cruz.
Azúcar.
Karol G.
La Bichota.
Christina Aguilera.
Ex-Tina.
Just to name a few.
We're serving the whole story.
From rags to riches.
And all the tea in between.
I'm Liliana Vasquez.
And I'm Joseph Carrillo.
And we're the host of Becoming an Icon Season 2.
Guess who's back in the house?
And we're bringing you even more stories behind the world's biggest stars in Latin music.
Certified Latin royalty.
Consider us your star sleuths, your chisme besties, digging beneath los mejores éxitos to bring you everything you didn't know about your favorite Latin icons.
Hey, you know what, my boo? You're my favorite icon.
Aw, Joseph!
Listen to Becoming an Icon, part of the Michael Theodore Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. And Pee-wee Herman's Big Adventure is 35 today.
Yeah, or this year. Or this next year.
Right now.
Yeah, let's say it all.
Let's say it.
Right now, this moment, past, present, and future, it will forever be 35.
Yes. So he's probably going to move back in with his parents.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah, he's got no health care.
Struggling financially.
They have to. So anyways, I mean, it's a quick thing. We were talking about Pee-wee's Big Adventure earlier because we were talking about Mr. Francis is taking a bath in the bathtub scene, how we always wanted a gigantic bathtub and chew gum that will make our mouth black and have a servant who is Odd Job from the James Bond movies.
It makes it look
Bond
like
movies.
You have an oil slick coming out of your mouth. Yeah. That's so evocative. And fucking the truck driver, Large Marge, that was mm-hmm. like probably the scariest character of my childhood.
When they did the claymation part where like her eyes bugged out and shit?
Yeah. Yeah. That fucked me up, man.
I got a real bad temper. That's one of my favorite lines too. It's like, oh no, what'd you do? You know one of those, you know the tags that they put on the mattress? Yeah, well I cut one of them off. I got a real bad temper. Anyway, the movie's classic.
Shit, that movie is classic.
And also, don't forget, that movie is the directorial debut of Tim Burton and Danny Elfman coming together to make magique.
Yeah. But did Tim Burton do some of the TV show also?
He must have.
I think he did, right?
Yeah, but I think this is the first film, film.
That TV show was like the first TV show I remember watching. That and like He-Man, I would watch them at the same time. Like before I started going to school, I would like stay home and watch that shit.
Yeah, what do you mean before you just didn't go to school?
I think it was.
Or you say before
you're
of school age?
Yeah, before I was of school age.
And they're like, "Nah, ma, I ain't going to school."
Right? Yeah.
Pee-wee's on.
This is all the education I need.
Mecca, lecca, hiney, ho, leave me alone. I gotta watch this motherfucking show. So now they're doing a huge celebratory tour, like major cities from Valentine's Day to like the end of March. Where you can go, there's like you'll see the movie. There's like a Q&A. You can meet him. You can get a photo. I just want to. I loved Pee Wee Herman. I remember my mom got a picture with him, and I had that photo of my mom and Pee Wee Herman. Like, just it's a cherished memento for me as a child. And I would show my friends. I'm like, it was my mom and Pee Wee Herman. Back the fuck up. And then what was the thing? He was sort of fake canceled in the 90s, right?
Yeah.
What's fully the story? He was masturbating in
an adult theater in 1991. That is a building that is constructed specifically for like men to masturbate in general.
A masturbatorium?
Like men with too much facial hair.
Yeah, so he got in trouble for being too human.
Right.
Is what it was. Yeah. He was too perfectly.
He wasn't masturbating in. Like when I heard the story in the 90s, the way it registered in my brain was he was masturbating. Like at a children's movie, basically,
right.
Because I associated him with children's culture. I was like, oh, Pee Wee Herman masturbating at a movie theater? Like, was he masturbating at one of his own movies? Like, you know.
Right. Yeah.
Because I was dumb.
Can you imagine being an adult and being mad at that? Because, like, I get that he made, like, his show is for kids, but he's such a weirdo. Like, you would never watch that and be like, oh, this is 100% nothing but silly, fun, wholesome for my children. Like, you put your kids in front of that because you want your kids to have, like, a cool, weirdo edge to them. Like, it was a weird, psychedelic show that was, like, challenging and scary and dumb. And
yeah, it's like that, like, avant-garde 80s art, like, 80s, early 90s art style, like, I don't even know what the movement is called, but it was like the peak of that.
Yeah. Around that time, one of the people who defended him, Bill Cosby, saying, whatever Rubens has done, this is being blown all out of proportion.
Not to mention
people like Cyndi Lauper and like Zsa Zsa Gabor and Annette Funicello.
It was blown out of proportion.
But the thing was, he was at a theater in Sarasota, Florida, and I guess people were doing, like the cops were doing like a pervert bust, and like they arrested three people. And then I guess when he got to the station, he was saying, like, I can do, like, a charity event. Like, can we not fucking go through with this?
Ruin my career.
Yeah. But they're saying, like, there is a misconception that his show was canceled as a result of this. And he had actually ended the show himself because he's like, he's like, it's going to get bad. He's like, we're running out of creative steam.
You know, that's hilarious. So this happened in 91.
Yeah.
And the police showed up. Because in my mind, I can't imagine that. The only way that plays out in my mind is, like, through the current lens of like someone saw him and filmed him on the phone.
Right.
This was like old school. He got arrested by cops, like gave him a speech style.
You have to be really fucking up to get canceled in the early 90s, I guess.
Well, also, like, you know, this show was out there and it was diverse too, like back then. You know,
Larry Fishburne, man.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
Anyway.
He was like an underutilized like character actor in movies. People should put him in stuff more. Like
Paul Rubens?
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. He was so good in Buffy.
He was great in, I didn't see Buffy. I'm sure he was great. Was it like a big part? Did he have like a reoccurring?
He was like the main henchman.
Oh, so he was in it a lot.
But he had the funniest scene because he like died for like 5 minutes.
Oh, the movie, the original movie. Buffy. Oh, I got to rewatch it. Yeah, I never saw the show. Oh, yeah, that's cool. I'm sure he's great. He's really good in like Home Alone 2 or something where he plays the weird like...
Oh, that's Joe Pesci you're thinking
No.
Yeah. Miles.
Hmm?
Nick.
Yes.
How is your password hygiene?
What? Filthy, disgusting.
So password hygiene is a term. Your habits on passwording, how you password protect your accounts. This is a cybersecurity provider has managed to get themselves in the media by complaining about how shitty our password hygiene is.
Yeah, well, they're looking at how, like, because we always see the listicles that are like, these are the dumbest fucking passwords of 2018 and shit like that. But this is more about, like, the habits that people have in regards to how they even use their passwords, which is interesting because I fall into some of these categories. They say 40% of people rely on their memory to remember their passwords.
Right.
Alone, just full-on memory. And 78% of respondents to the survey had to reset their password in the last 90 days because they forgot it.
Yeah.
Not a great way to remember your passwords. I use a password manager because I started using... The one time I thought my Gmail may have been hacked, I went off the deep end and just started doing all like the super, you know, alphanumeric mixtures of emojis, even GIFs, whatever.
Oh, really?
I had to do. Yeah.
The only thing I do is I just try to make my passwords really like inside jokey for myself.
Right.
So I just try to make them fun, and that's I just remember them. But I definitely have to reset like old passwords all the damn time.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just try to give myself. I'm probably bad. Probably someone could rob me.
They say the other thing is that 72% of individuals reuse their passwords in their personal life. I don't even know what that means exactly.
Oh, it's just like you always use the same password.
Oh. Oh, rather, okay, outside of work, probably. That's right. I think that's the distinction.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, that's bad hygiene.
I've also read that, like, strong password, like, Microsoft issued a report back in 2014 saying, like, strong passwords are overrated. Like, nobody's trying to fucking hack your password.
Dude, admin, bro, all day.
But, like, as long as you're not using one of the ones that is fucking, like, admin or, like, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Sure,
like,
sure.
The ones that... the hackers immediately guess, like probably have like a code that just immediately guesses those. As long as you're using one that's like personal to you, I feel like it probably is overrated.
I don't know. I'm not a security expert.
Right.
I'm the trade guy.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, you're a trade expert.
Yeah. They say a lot of people but they say people are way more cautious with their work accounts than they are with their personal accounts. Like they found way better habits with people who are using like all their work accounts are way better secured.
Well, probably because the average person is, to be honest with themselves, their personal online stuff is pointless.
Nobody's gonna check
garbage.
Shit.
Right.
At work, you might actually need
to. Well, and also work makes you like change it every.
A lot of them do. Yeah. They're like, oh, it's been 3 months. I'm like, okay, watch me add another fucking percentage sign to that.
Uh-oh. You just revealed.
Maybe it's not it.
Okay.
I'm just saying a habit I know other people do.
Uh-huh.
But
mm-hmm.
what I do, look, truth be told, it's an asterisk. Okay.
Yeah.
That's how you know.
I mean, everybody uses that.
That's how I know I'm being transparent with the audience.
You can also use acronyms to, like, just do a sentence so that it doesn't make any sense.
When you say inside joke passwords, did you ever do inside joke names in your phone book on your phone? At one point, I only had nicknames in my cell phone.
Oh, really?
Because I thought it was amazing to throw people. I don't know. I just didn't want people to look at my phone and be like, who's Mushroom Cock? I'm like, you don't know.
Wait, you had a personal relationship with Donald Trump?
With Donald Trump.
Yeah, damn.
No, I have to put in a short sentence, though, for everybody. Even my cousin Sam, he's just like, I got a Sam.
Sam, the kid
I was just
of
like,
my mom's sister.
Who the hell is Sam?
Mom's sister's kid.
Yeah, I do. Everyone's like, either last name is Comedy or... You know,
however
I met them or podcast or, you know,
so-and-so's
husband or whatever.
Mine's like Erica Fence.
Right. Yeah. I have some real vague shit in mine that I'm just like, I don't know.
I have like one that says Elmer Soccer Boston. In mine. I have a few weird ones.
Have you ever played soccer in Boston?
No, it was a dude who just moved out here from Boston who I met at a pickup game. Was like, yeah, I don't know. Like, what do you do for fun? And I was like, I don't know. I should be kicking it with. I don't know if we get along, bro. But I'll take your number and I'll make it weird. So when I see it, I'll be like,
No, that's not weird for me. That's love.
Yeah,
soccer Boston for me.
Yeah,
is
soccer
like,
Boston.
Yeah, that's,
right?
I'm in.
Bingo. Yeah. Let's talk about Taco Bell real quick. They're getting in the fake meat game.
Mm-hmm. Plant-based protein trend, man.
Yeah, I mean, this is like the Beyond Meat and the other one. What's the other?
Impossible.
Impossible. Yeah, like, yeah. Those are both, like, you know, taking off, making a bunch of money.
Well, yeah, they're only, they're right
market
now.
Market cap is great, dude. Skyrocketing market capitalization.
They're testing two meatless menu items, but sadly, it's for consumers in Spain and Finland at the moment.
Word.
I didn't know because
they know they won't complain over right, there.
Yeah, it's weird.
Not along.
I didn't know there was Taco Bell in Cyprus.
Oh hell yeah!
Because they have like a halloumi crunch wrap supreme.
Yeah, it's like, the only thing that's good. Holding
yeah,
that
I was like,
society
damn,
together.
It's Taco Bell. Yeah,
it's more surprising that they have Taco Bell in Finland to me than they do
yeah,
in Cyprus.
I know.
Well, the
it's
food
just weird.
There is. Ugh.
Oh, you don't like Finnish food?
No.
Oh man,
I always Finnish.
I don't even
it.
Know. Yeah, hey.
I actually don't know what it
I don't
is.
Even know what it is. Reindeer.
Yeah, probably fish. Reindeer and like fish that's been left out.
And Moomins.
Yeah.
That old cartoon.
Yes.
Whatever those are when you cook them up.
I am going to get a lot of.
Dude, Finnish Zeitgang, drag him. But the things that they're doing, yeah, that's like with, I don't know, oats and beans and shit like that that they're making. My whole thing with this is, again, the beef at Taco Bell is otherworldly.
Nobody ever assumed that was beef.
In that I have never had beef like that in this world.
Right.
So
it's at least partially sawdust, I've always said.
If it changes, I feel like this is a, in a way, I feel like they already knew what they had was probably plant-based or something.
They're right.
Like, yeah, look, it's only 2% beef.
Right.
But yeah. Now it's like, it's all completely plant-based. Yeah. I don't know. I think I'll eat it either way. Because I don't go to Taco Bell for the meat.
Right.
I'll go for the poison.
Yeah. A little sauce on that.
Yeah,
poison.
A little hot fire.
Flaming.
I find the whole
Bell.
Thing I find the whole thing terrifying. Like all the fake meat. I just feel like they just know like the planet's dying. Like we have to figure out new ways to feed people.
Oh yeah.
We'll
absolutely
pretend
right.
that there's a rise in veganism and just like it's right. I feel like it's all a conspiracy just to figure out how we're going to get pellets down our throats.
Right.
When there's like literally no way to sustain life on this
I
planet.
I bet they're feeding us, the rich are feeding us food that is makes our fat or our meat nice and marbled. So when
they can eat us.
Yeah. So when the things go to shit, they can eat us.
Well,
we'll be
you know
nice
what?
And marbled.
Jeff Bezos, come and get me, fam, because the marbling on these thighs.
Woo! Yeah.
Fucking A7 Wagyu. Fucking creating new categories of this shit.
Yeah, purely beer fed.
Purely beer fed. relaxing on the couch, smoking blunts.
Right.
You know what I mean? Very
massaged.
Good marbling. Massage,
got that,
yeah.
That good podcast vocal cord.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Nice
yeah.
and stretched.
Not going to eat that. You know, they just want this thigh.
Nice and chewy.
No, I think the vocal cord would be pretty bomb.
Yeah.
Whatever. Yeah. Well,
I don't know. It's like a hot pot, you know?
Yeah.
It's like cartilage or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Hey, ooh. If anyone, you know, the Travis, the homie that's the butcher, do y'all eat cow vocal cords? What
yeah.
do y'all do with that?
Let us know.
Let us know.
Nick, it's yes. been a pleasure having
Thank you, man.
What a great first time guest.
Very cool. I appreciate it.
Thanks. Where can people find you, follow you?
Ooh, you can follow me on whatever at Nick Castellini. That's all the things. Nick Castellini. And you can listen to my podcast, Hella in Your 30s, wherever you do that kind of stuff.
Castellini?
Yep. Hella in Your 30s. We come out every Monday. My wife and I figure out how to be adults in this current dystopia that mm-hmm. we're trying not to drown in.
What's
and
a tip you've learned for how to be an adult?
Get a bidet.
Ah.
Try to do your own taxes. Oh, just try to – basically the takeaway is just like attempt to do things that you think are too hard because usually you can break it down to some sort of you know, 1, 2, 3, get it done kind of thing.
Yeah.
But also mainly what we do is we just talk trash to each
right.
other. We've been together forever. We love each other.
Like hijack a plane, start flying it. Even if you haven't taken lessons, you'll mm-hmm. just like, you'll figure it out.
We're going to do that once our Patreon hits like $75,000 a month.
There you go.
For hijacking.
Sure. Yeah. We need this first prop plane real quick.
Yeah.
And is there a tweet you've been enjoying?
Oh, no, I hate Twitter, but
okay.
Yeah, Twitter's the worst. Sorry, everyone. But my friend John Luce Wins, that's his Twitter handle, John Luce Wins. He's funny. And okay, this is a dirty one. You guys cool with that?
Yeah.
All right. The Peloton ad, except it's my husband giving me a dildo that's way too big that I work on every morning for a year. At John Luce Wins. He's hilarious. Otherwise, stay off Twitter.
John Luce indeed wins. Miles, where can people find you?
Find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray.
Well, what's a tweet you've been enjoying?
Tweet I like is from Jabuki at Jabuki.
Yeah.
And this one cuts. This one's going to cut deep in this room with some immigrant kids in here. But it says, marriage story, but it's two immigrant parents staying together even though they have nothing in common except for the country they came from.
Oh, shit.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
My immigrant grandparents, well, they were also cousins, but anyways, they have a couple things in common.
Yeah, a little more than just the country, okay? Give them credit.
Some tweets I've been enjoying. Andrew Durso tweeted, Billie Eilish, I don't know Van Halen, 36-year-old beard guy. Ha, wow. Every dad on here is really mad about this. Billie Eilish, I don't know the Hold Steady, 36-year-old beard guy. You son of a, getting held back by friends. You motherfucker, I'll kill you. I'll fuck. And then also, sorry.
I love Billie English or whatever. Her music is
I love Willie Eyelash.
Willie Eyelash is cool, man.
And then Cody Johnson took a picture of a juice bar at a Whole Foods that said, life is what you juice of it, and just wrote, this isn't a phrase, this is nothing. That's it. You can find me on Twitter, @Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter @DailyZeitgeist. We're @TheDailyZeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, DailyZeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes. Yeah. Or we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song We Ride Out On. Miles, what's that going to be today?
This is from Sports. You know?
Yeah.
Sick-ass band name.
Oh, hell yeah.
They're from Oklahoma, a little band. But I just like their, you know, this one has like a trippy vaporwave kind of aesthetic to it. It's called Shiggy. S-H-I-G-G-Y. Shiggy. Just listen to this as you're... Your concerns melt away and you go into a Technicolor dream.
The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That's going to do it for today. We will be back this afternoon telling you what's trending, and then tomorrow with a whole new podcast, and we'll talk to you then. Bye.
Bye.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
America, we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. To serve others in ways that promote human flourishing and create a ripple effect of transformation for generations to come. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
Hey fam, I'm Simone Boyce.
I'm Danielle Robay.
And we're the hosts of The Bright Side, the podcast from Hello Sunshine that's guaranteed to light up your day.
Like our recent episode with sisters Regina and Raina King about the why behind their production company, Royal Ties.
We have such a huge love for storytelling without walls, without barriers.
Listen to The Bright Side from Hello Sunshine on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.